Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
It certainly is. Here I am. And there you are. And I'm glad you're there. We've got Milan Yurkovich and Becky Brown here with all of us. And thank you guys for being here, Becky, Milan.
Well, thanks for inviting us, Steve.
Our privilege. Totally.
All right. I want to start right up front by reminding everybody that we have this matching gift. And I'm so grateful for the people that came together and said, here's $700,000, and we want you to make it more than that. We want it to be matched before you access it. Thank you. So we need you to support us. I'll send you the 100 Days to Freedom from Anger as a way of saying thank you. But people need help, and if you support us, they get that help. It's just like that. And, you know, we did a workshop on emotional freedom a couple of weeks ago, and a woman said, last night, I just wanted to die. I was in such despair, and I have new hope, and it's going to be different. And that's what we love, absolutely love to hear.
And I always think, Steve, there's so many people in our audience, so many of you who are listening who think, yeah, I need to give to New Life. Well, now's your chance, because every dollar you give will be doubled. And so I just want to encourage you, if you've even thought about giving, today's the day. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and give a dollar or two or three, four.
If you go to our website, you can find out how to give. You can also find out all the workshops that we do. And you can find out about the Lumina Project, which is a partnership with Museum of the Bible that is, we hope and pray, we believe, is the beginning of a truth movement in this country that makes all the difference in the world. And all you have to do is call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. You can find out all about that. All right, let's go to the phones and let's talk with Kimberly from San Francisco, California. Hello there. How are you today? What's going on?
Hi, Steve. I'm pretty devastated today. I'll start with my question. Do I stay or do I leave a marriage to an unbeliever that refuses to stop porn? He says he will use it as he sees fit, and I'm just trying to control him with my opposition to his porn use.
Oh, wow. That is so, so sad. I am so sorry.
It's interesting that he's making this a faith issue when the statistics are out there that porn is not good for anyone. And I don't know if there's other issues that you guys are dealing with, Kimberly, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. I don't know. Have you sought counseling for this, or what kind of conversations have you guys had over this subject?
We've sought counseling for it in the past. He refuses to see anyone that's not secular. So a number of years ago when I was pregnant with our third child, this came up and the therapist suggested I partake in it with him, which I was not okay with. More recently, we've been separated now for about 2 months, and this was one of the issues that was coming up for us in our marriage, but now that we're separated, he's into pornography even more. And his caveat is, well, if you don't want me to look at porn, either have sex with me or send me naked pictures of yourself. And he's into some pretty hardcore stuff that is really difficult for me. And I just don't know if it's time to just throw in the towel and just be done with this man, that he's never going to give it up.
All right. We'll talk right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back talking with Kimberly, a very, very tragic, sad situation. And Mylon, you have some thoughts here and questions, and then we'll go to Becky after that.
Hey, Kimberly, when you got married to your husband, was he an unbeliever then, and were you a believer at that time?
He was an unbeliever. I was raised in a believing family, but our faith wasn't really something that was at the forefront of our lives, so I wasn't exactly strong in my faith at that time. Mm-hmm. And as I've gotten older, it's become more important to me.
Sure.
Okay. It's something that he...
Well, and then just really quickly, how old are your three children?
Our children are 16, 13, and 8.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you something I would tell, excuse me, anybody who is married to an individual who has a severe addiction. The only thing you can do is give them an ultimatum. And I don't know if throwing in the towel is the correct metaphor for you to use. I would use a different metaphor. But the ultimatum would be simply, I'm going to file for a legal separation because, excuse me again, I don't know how much money you're spending on this addiction or how much it is affecting your ability to make and have an income. But, I am going to file a legal separation until the time comes that you choose to say no to this addiction and begin to do some work to get through it and over it. And then I can know we have a relationship where you will then be able to love me and not see me through the eyes of pornography. Because that's what I want. And our children desperately need a dad who is present and not with his mind filled in adulterous and, you know, pornographic thoughts. Do you have any daughters in the mix?
We have two.
Okay, how old are they?
It's our oldest and our youngest.
Okay.
So 16 and 8.
I'd be very concerned to have a husband deeply involved in pornography and have a 16-year-old floating around. You know, it is just not a good combo. And I'll just say that. I know and have talked to many women in my office where when a daughter, all of a sudden goes through puberty and starts to look like a young woman, the husbands can be highly sexualized toward them, speak to them in highly sexualized manner, and it's not a good formula. So I'm suggesting an ultimatum with a legal separation as to a divorce. Now, a separation says, I want you to come back, but here's my requirement of what I need for you to do before you are welcome back.
I think that's really, really important.
That's what we did when he left, and he's not willing to stop. He says that he doesn't have an addiction. It's not a problem. It's something that he uses when he needs sexual relief, and if he's not getting it from me, that's what he's going to do.
Yeah, and then how often?
All men do it.
Yeah, that's not true. All men don't do that. And number two, so then how often does he need a sexual release? I've known men that said, well, I need that three times a day. You know, and
he
so...
says right now, during the separation, it's daily because he's living alone. And
so,
but as long as he's getting what he wants at home, he says it won't be that often.
Yeah. So, Becky, what would you say?
Well, you know, we understand addiction is meeting a need. And addictions come in all shapes and sizes, and this just happens to be the one that has attached itself to him. Mm-hmm. And the more that he does this, the more damage he's doing. Just like, you know, drugs, alcohol, there's, you know, what we know about addiction is that it's meeting a need. So there's something underneath this use. And I would say in his reaction to you about, you know, I just need you, we talk about this at Restore. We talk about it's not really in intimacy that he needs, it's intensity. And the more that he uses the porn, the more, you know, he needs to use the porn. You know, along with what you said, Mylon, I think the idea of seeing a secular counselor with some parameters where you can use your voice, I would get him into counseling in any way, shape, or form as far as, you know, he's going to need help with this addiction. And if the counselor does suggest something like that, then obviously you move on to the next one. I think many times we forego help because we're looking for just the right one, and there's no problem in wanting the best, but he's stuck. And he doesn't even see it. And I'm concerned for your kids, also for the reasons that Mylon mentioned, but also divorce at this age can be devastating.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one last thing. I would want for you, Kimberly, to have a group of women around you to help you in this process and wouldn't want you to do this on your own, whether it is continuing the separation, ultimately divorcing, but just that process of understanding how this is affecting you can be just so helpful in the long run.
Okay. Boy, I tell you, this is tough. I wish, I hope, I pray that you have people that will continue to give you good counsel and wisdom. Restore, great place. You can go once, twice, three times. There are groups for folks who are attached to somebody that just simply doesn't see reality at all, and they're addicted and they're full of lust, and sex is an act. It's not something that they see as an intimacy or a manifestation of intimacy. So it's a bad place to be, and I'm so sorry that you're there with him. And you might want to call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and just see if some of our folks there have some suggestions for you and what might be the next step. They certainly can connect you with a really great, great counselor. So sorry for this. And I would not feel bad one bit for establishing a boundary for you and your daughter. I mean, it's important that you stick to where the path that you're on there. Becky, you have something else to say, okay?
Well, Mylon might too, but I was just thinking, you know, think about the aftermath of this. So, Kimberly, if you go ahead with the divorce, his story is, yes, I liked porn more than I liked my family. I mean, there's no way around that. And so you are justified if he's resistant to connecting with you in a healthy way and getting rid of the porn. So I think that's important for you to hear. But he's got an issue that he can't even see right now, and that's what addiction does to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and the last thing I was going to say was, if he does come home, does Kimberly want to have a sexual relationship with a man who has completely altered his thinking as to what sexuality is? And he's just, at that point, Kimberly becomes a sexual object. Mm-hmm. She's not a person with a mind, will, and emotions and to lovingly care for and nurture. It's all about her being an objectified sexual object, like you said, Steve.
Well, you know, I've had people say to me, the Bible says, do not withhold yourself from the other person, and they say, that's all it says. Well, you know, the Bible also says, children, obey your parents. But we know that there are sick parents that would ask a child to do something mm-hmm. that they should not obey. Mm-hmm. If a parent asks a child, a 17-year-old child still living at home, to do something immoral, no one would say, well, you need to go ahead and do it anyway. Mm-hmm. And no, we don't want people withholding sex, but there are situations that aren't listed there where it would be inappropriate for you to have sex. I'll give you one. If a person is out there having sex with prostitutes and other people, you must not have sex with that person. You must withhold sex because mm-hmm. you don't know what kind of disease that might be transmitted to you. So it's complicated, more complicated than you could ever imagine. But the point is, there are certain situations that really do call for somebody to do something that the Scripture says don't do, but the Scripture doesn't look at or address every situation. Does that make sense, or does it feel like I'm going against that Scripture?
No, it makes...
Well, Becky, Myla,
I was thinking about the Scripture that says if you even look with lust, you have sinned against. And I think, you know, I mean, this is what we're talking about. So yeah. there's support biblically for what she's thinking of doing.
Mylan, do you think that is being
true
to the verse?
I think you're absolutely right. When do we have to say, I will serve the Lord as opposed to mankind?
Yeah.
So to your point about, you know, a parent asking a 17-year-old to do something, or a husband asking his wife, who might be a Christian, to do something immoral, we are to say, we're not to be conformed to the world. We're not to allow the world to conform us to what it wants and what yeah. others who represent the world are wanting from us. So it is important to say no at those times. So what I'm saying is a separation is a warm boundary that says, I want you to come back. Notice it's not a divorce, husband. It is a separation
yeah.
that is protecting me financially and legally because I don't know what you're getting into out there. And I don't believe right. you, actually, because right. you could be doing a lot of other things besides pornography.
Okay. Thank you for that. And I'll send you a transformation Bible. I hope that will help you in your journey. I wish we could help you more. And I will also send you Understanding and Loving a Person with a Sexual Addiction. Hope that could be helpful to you also. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need help, if you need a counselor, we want to provide that for you. Right now, let's go to Cindy from Weatherford, Texas, listening to KWRD. Hi, Cindy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today, Steve?
Pretty good. Not many complaints. How could we help?
Good. Well, I'm wondering what direction I should take with a grown child who suffers from mental health disorders and is putting herself in harm, and my grandchildren, but also she, during her waves of manic behavior or outrageous behavior, she tends to swoop all the family in on the drama.
Yeah.
And then cuts them back out, and she's had a really bad manic episode this month and done a lot of really serious, crazy things, but yet we can't get help. So it's like, you know, I've even called, you know, MHMR, some of those places. So what does someone do when you have an adult that you can't really commit to, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That you're worried about the children in the home.
Right. It's tough. Becky, what are you thinking?
I was just wondering what specific things that were dangerous. As we go to the break, Cindy, is she diagnosed with bipolar disorder? You mentioned manic.
She's been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. She's been diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. She had a gunfight with her boyfriend that's living with her, although she's married and her husband's in jail. He went to jail for assaulting her and bonded out. Now she wants to meet him back in, but he can't call okay. the property.
Okay, that gives us a good picture.
Everyone. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll take a break. We'll come right back for more of New Life Live. We have something that you could use. We have something that you need. You call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn. We're talking with Cindy, and her adult 38-year-old daughter is a problem. And I'm going to send you a book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children, by Jim Burns. I hope that that will be helpful to you. But, Cindy, okay. I'm wondering, what would be the chances of and the impact it would have if you asked your daughter to go on a retreat with you, or just maybe do call it that, a trip with you, find a place you guys could drive to and spend a couple of days, and just to connect with her and ask about her life and all that, and let her know you love and care about her, and then, you know, be able to have some kind of credibility in guiding her or helping her see things that she obviously doesn't see or isn't willing to address. Is there any chance that something like that could happen?
Well, Steve, I'm going to add two quick words, not explanations, but the words should be enough. She has a drug addiction problem on and off. Currently, she is using methamphetamines, and she has a very narcissistic behavior. I am her primary target.
Okay.
So she loves to hate me. I'm not the one who could possibly persuade her to do anything,
okay.
Honestly.
Well, how about this? Are there financial resources available to pay for her to get treatment?
Probably not. I mean, I don't even know what treatment to start with.
Well, it would be the treatment for methamphetamine addiction. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
And I know some wonderful people.
Well, and I'll tell people. The day she set the trucks on fire was her first appeal.
Yeah.
Again, she had not spoke. She had cut me off for 2 years.
Okay.
But I'm always a person she goes back to very quickly. And she said, I've been this way all my life. I don't know why I do this.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't. So a side of her wants help, but then very quickly that other side then comes right back out. And
okay. So here's what I would do.
So I don't know.
Okay. I would find out what are the treatment resources in the area that can be afforded. And if you can help her financially, then you have the right to say, you know, you always come back after one of these episodes like the last time, and I want you to know I want to help you, and this is a treatment resource. I'm going to help you financially with it, because I believe until that addiction is taken care of, there is really nothing healthy is going to happen with the other things that are going on in your life. The addiction to methamphetamines, makes all the rest of the problems being so severe and bizarre, they make sense now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that needs to be addressed first. And so try to help her find resources and help her financially to get that kind of treatment. And maybe, just maybe, she'll take it. Every time a person has another episode, it usually gets them a little closer to wanting help. A lot of people have gotten help, and they've gotten better. And I would hope and pray that for you. Becky, Mylon, anything else we want to offer here?
Well, Oh, go ahead, Mylon.
No, I don't mind if you go first.
Okay, well, I just wanted to clarify. You mentioned, Cindy, that you had called some outside resources, and I was wondering if one of those was Child Protective Services.
Absolutely, Becky. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Child Protective Services have been to her house a number of times.
Okay. And
Child Protective Services, and when they get there, my daughter has one of her conditions is bipolar disorder. So she's very manic. Her house is immaculate. All the stuff is straightened up. So when they look at removing children in an environment and putting them maybe in foster care, now she says she had not started doing drugs again until, well, she hadn't done any since November, but here in the last month I know she started again. So it's like at the times they go out there, everything's okay. Do you understand?
The thing is that
2 weeks ago, my grandson showed up to us, and CPS never showed up at the house. They don't provide. I don't know. I'm just
okay. So, Cindy, here's the thing. Here's the thing. That's the challenge. They're overworked. They have so many things that they have to deal with. Okay, so what you're going to have to do, and I don't know how old your grandkids are, but you need to resource them with a place to go. Gunfire and fires and meth use are all, it doesn't matter how clean the house is.
Right.
This is not a place to raise children.
It doesn't to me. But my daughter, if we talked about taking the grandchildren, she actually signed something to give custody of her children temporarily when she went to jail on the fire burning to a man she'd known 4 days rather than a family member. So my fear if I go in and try to remove the kids is that we'll lose them. And maybe that should, I need to get rid of that fear and whatever happens, get them out.
Okay, so we have a commercial we have to go to right now, Cindy, and then when we come back, we have some thoughts to share about that. So hold on, please.
Might not be the worst thing going to someone else. We'll be back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the 1-Year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Mylon, you had some things you wanted to say as we finish up with Cindy.
Well, Cindy, it's really important because Becky is right. You know, Child Protective Services are overworked and underpaid people, and they're doing their very best. Right. Secondly, they can be duped by somebody. I've known some borderlines that could flip a switch and look like they're the most incredibly sane person in the whole world and reasonable.
That's her.
I know. I've seen it, and so I totally get it. So what I'm going to suggest, and listen, Cindy, I also want to encourage you. This is super sad. You're giggling a lot during this call, and I really want you to just, we're okay with the grief this must bring to your heart. And I really want you to know this is so painful, Cindy. Now, last thing I want to say is you need to find a lawyer. You need to be able to go to court.
Okay.
Perhaps create some sort of a restraining order or do something for the protection of those kids. their adverse childhood experience score, their ACE score, is very high. And they're going to be very wounded by that unless they're brought out. They have to live with this person that is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And it is a horrible place for a child to grow up. And so I would consult a lawyer. Becky, what would you add to that?
Well, I wanted to go back to the whole idea of, you know, if they have to go to a foster home, it will be a wake-up call for her. Mm-hmm. And even though mm-hmm. I know she was ready to sign them over to a stranger, you know, you need to keep a timeline so that when you're talking to an authority, whether it's a lawyer or a CPS, they have an understanding of the whole picture as opposed to what they hear sometimes where people are trying to manipulate the system. And what we want for these kids is protection, mm-hmm. and we want them to know mm-hmm. grandma is on your side and call me if you need anything, and we're going to get you help.
All right. I'm going to send you
I was totally cut off for 2 years, and now I'm back, and I just don't want to keep doing that to them.
No. And I hope that you'll take Mylan's advice and hear some of the insights from Becky. I'll send you Understanding and Loving a Person with Alcohol or Drug Addiction. I think it will be helpful. And I also am just going to send you a Life Recovery Bible and hope sometime you're going to be able, it'll be appropriate to give that to her. That's what I'm hoping for.
You know, Steve, what happens so many times is you've got the identified patient, so to speak, which would be the daughter in this case, but we're missing the forest for the trees. We're missing the kids who are being impacted by this.
That's
and
right.
A 38-year-old, you don't have any control over, but
right.
you certainly can protect children, and that's where I want Cindy's focus to be.
That's right, and she might even be cut off from the daughter, but that shouldn't that shouldn't affect her ability to be in contact with CPS and a lawyer and some sort of advocacy for those kids.
Right.
Absolutely.
The goal is not to stay connected to the daughter. The goal, as you said, Becky, and it was so good, is to protect the kids.
Right.
Speaking of protection, Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio. He protects us all in various ways. Larry, what do you have for us today?
Well, Steve, just a quick reminder. You talked about it at the top of the program, the matching gift that we've got mm-hmm. going. The first week, last week of that gift, we received $81,700 to match. And this program, I don't have a report because it's being recorded on Monday, and next Monday we'll have a report on this week. But I know we're going to need your continued support, and I want to thank everybody who gave to make the match possible and for those of you that are matching it. So thank you, and please support that.
All right.
The second thing is just a testimony. Why would you want to give to this ministry? Well, here's just one testimony from a gal named Susan. I've been listening to New Life for many years. I've attended 2 workshops and have gone on 2 trips with y'all. I think I've read almost every book you've published, especially while I was in my previous marriage and struggling with trying to improve that marriage and myself. My therapist told me I was the best red client he ever had. I really wish I could put into words what this ministry has meant to me, but I wouldn't even know where to start. I've grown so much since being a part of New Life, and I tell others about your ministry all the time. I support you because I believe in what you do and know that all of your counsel comes from a biblical point of view, which is important to me. The workshop I went into Dallas, probably around 2007 or 8, it was amazing. I'll never forget these words my counselor said to me. Put the club down, Susan. I had been beating myself up and believing things about myself that were not true. So, folks, lives change. People see life differently. God's Spirit does a work in their hearts, their minds. They're thinking differently and better. That's why we seek your support. We want each and every one of these folks that are listening and come to us for help to experience the same thing.
Amen. And a gift of any amount, we're going to match it, and we're going to send you 100 Days to Freedom from Anger. It is a wonderful daily devotional, and it's a beautiful book, and there's great devotional material and great scripture and great quotes by some really great people. So If you're angry, this is going to be a wonderful tool, and we'll give it to you for a gift of any amount. Anything else you want to say there, Larry?
No, just thank you. Thank you for everybody who's making gifts to New Life. It's changing lives.
1-800-NEW-LIFE is the simple number to call, and I hope you will. All right, let's go to Larry, Columbus, Ohio, and he listens on Sirius XM. Hey, Larry, how are you today?
Fine, how are you?
Well, I'm doing all right, yep. How could we help today?
Is this Steve?
It is Steve and Mylon and Becky.
Steve, Mylon, and Becky, hello to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
The question that I have is, I just transitioned to a new church, and the previous two churches that I was in, I was a counselor. You know, I counseled married couples, my wife and I, singles, and people that's going through grief. The church that I'm currently at now wants to start a counseling ministry. And I listen to you guys every day, and I can say you guys are wonderful. I have learned so much from you. And some of the books that you guys are talking about, I went online and I'm getting ready to order several books. But I need to understand, is there any way that I could get some of the coaching from you guys, or what would you recommend for me?
To start the counseling ministry in your church?
Yes.
Well, first thing would be to get you established and integrated into that staff as a strong team member. That would be the first thing. And the second thing would be to be sure that everybody on that staff knows that you're just a phone call or a text away if they come in contact with anybody that could benefit from your counseling. And then the next thing would be to be sure that the pastor tells people about you and introduces you right up front in the main thing, so everybody knows you're there. And then hopefully that will fill up every hour you have, and you'll be asking for people to help you, or you'll be hiring help, whatever the church can do, or you'll be training volunteers to be lay counselors.
And Becky? We can connect him with Terry, and you can begin a life recovery program at your church,
right,
which will be a great way to help so many people, but also establish who you are and what you're doing in the community. And it'll reach so many people. And, you know, Columbus is a great place for that to be.
All right.
So that's wonderful. Excellent. So you said this last bullet, you said start life recovery at the church. Your life, can you give me a little bit more detail on that, please?
Well, it's a 12-step group based on the Life Recovery Bible and the other materials that go with it. We have a starter kit for how to start that in any church. And what we'll do is we'll connect you with Terry Ward, who is over that entire ministry, and she'll be a big help to you. And I'm very excited that you have a place and you have a purpose, and I hope that we can help you with that plan. You are listening to New Life Live. We'll take a break. We'll come back for our final segment here. So glad you're listening. Thanks to all of you that support us. It really does make a difference, and we are grateful for you.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
This is Terry McIntosh, and millions of Americans are living with mental illness or know someone who is. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we're featuring a sale on books, CDs, and devotions to help you with topics like depression, codependency, fear and anxiety, and a whole lot more. You can visit our online store at newlife.com for resources to both help you grow personally and to better understand those struggling with their mental health.
Thank you, Terry McIntosh. Let's see. I think I've got time for one more call here, and I'm going to go to Donna from Henderson, Kentucky. There we go. Donna, you are on. How you doing there?
Hey, I'm enjoying the sunshine. It's really nice here in Kentucky.
Well, wonderful.
Well, thank you. And thank you for taking my call. I had a question. Hold on.
Hmm.
Just a second.
Okay.
Okay, so I have been a Christian all my life, and I've even, like, rededicated myself, but I go through spiritual warfare a lot.
And when you say spiritual warfare, what do you mean? What are you specifically referring to?
Thoughts. Really, I call it spiritual because it's really bad thoughts. Really, really bad thoughts. And it's not really pertaining to people. It's pertaining to God and all of that. And I have been through counseling for it. It's not all the time. And sometimes it just pops up. And then I'm like humbling myself. I'm crying and asking God for forgiveness.
Mm. So you have intrusive thoughts that you are not able to get rid of easily. Is that what you're saying?
No, right. I mean, it's bad. Sometimes I can go do something and I can get my mind off of it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's so bad that it's just like one thought right after another, and I just holler out and I just pray. You know, and just ask God to take it away from me. And I don't know if it seems like in the past and stuff like this happened, something was going to happen that wasn't going to be bad. It was going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But it just comes and goes, and it's so draining. I read my Bible. You know, I say Bible verses. I say, get behind me, Satan. You know, I'm a child of God. Leave.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question, then I'm going to turn this over to Mylon and Becky. Is there, in your past, is there either a specific trauma or were your parents, were they negative? Did they insinuate or say pretty crummy stuff around you? Tell us about that. Either a trauma or... Go ahead.
So I think it all really started... I didn't have a really good childhood or any of that stuff, but that's the way I was raised and stuff, and I don't have any, you know, I became a stronger person because of all of that. I wouldn't be where I'm at if it hadn't been for what I went through.
What does all of that mean?
Well, I had a dad that was an alcoholic, a non-functional alcoholic. There was my mom, basically, she had to take care of us. Mm. And so when I was younger, I started bulimia. I don't know how you can't say that. Mm-hmm. I've dealt with that all my life. I've had counseling all my life. I've been on medication before with all that. And it seemed like it got really bad in 1983. And my husband at that time, we had to move to Texas.
Yeah.
And for like 6 months. But I met I had a good job there. I met the greatest people. They were really sweet and nice and kind. And then I came home, and I was okay. My job took me back because they gave me an extended leave of absence. And it started. And I do have a history, you know, used to, when I was younger, I dealt in tarot cards, I did, fortune telling, and okay. all of that. But
before
I
you accepted
all
Christ.
That up.
Before you accepted Christ, is that right?
No, I accepted Christ at 12.
Okay. Well, let me start with Mylon here and get some perspective on the kind of struggle that you're going through. Mylon?
Well, okay. Donna, there's a lot of things that we're discussing here, and I'm going to be very brief. Whatever the formula or how all this came into being and the history of having an alcoholic dad and then the difficulties of your childhood, and there certainly is spiritual warfare that is clearly a part of our world. But what I'm hearing from you is you have obsessive thoughts and you have intrusive thoughts. They just intrude.
So what do you mean by intrusive?
Well, they just walk right into your head and just live there. Yeah. They intrude.
Sometimes it does.
They don't knock on the door and say, "May I please come in?" They just, you know, like they're home invasion robbers. They just run right into your head. And then you obsess on them. You think about them over and over and over and over again. And so what I'm going to suggest is there are certain medications that help slow down the obsessing, intrusive thoughts and rumination. Where we sit and just go over a thought over and over and over and over in our head. And then we go through a ritual then of guilt and prayer and confession and the whole thing. And the whole thing just then starts all over again. We need to pray and we need to ask God for protection. But I used to be more obsessive in my thoughts. I had a lot of intrusive thoughts. And I got on the right type of a medication that helped slow all that down. And it's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, Becky, what would you add to that?
I think that it helps to discover the patterns. Mm-hmm. You're saying, Donna, that this doesn't happen all the time, but when it hits, it really hits hard. And I think it would be helpful in with a counselor to really kind of connect the dots of when this is occurring.
Mm-hmm.
And then you begin to create different habits, along with medication and, you know, what you're talking about too, Mylon, to disrupt the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be everything from, there's an old way of doing this in therapy, we call it thought stopping. And you could put a rubber band around your wrist and you snap that wrist and then you replace that thought with some other thought that will disrupt that habit, that pattern. And there's some neuroscience that connects that that activity, which seems so basic and so simple, but it's going to take some repetitive, which is ironic because the thoughts can be repetitive, to disrupt repetitive habits to disrupt the process. I also would encourage you, I know we've said this 1,000 times, but I can't stress it enough. You need to be in a group in order to find those connections so that you're not doing this on your own, Donna. And it can be everything from a life recovery group or, you know, even a anxiety recovery group.
Mm-hmm. And I'm very glad that you called. I'm going to send you a Restoration Bible. I'm hoping and praying that something we've said is helpful. A lot of times, well, first of all, I want to say this. It's all spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Satan uses everything with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we have some spiritual symptoms that have a psychological solution mm-hmm. to them. Many times there are psychological problems that have spiritual solutions. But I think you have to explore every avenue. Well, God bless you. Thanks for joining us. God says He'll be with you no matter what. Isaiah 43:2. Don't forget that.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.